Our Father, we pray for wisdom once again. We acknowledge that we badly need this. We pray that you will speak to our hearts and help us to ponder what this retreat is all about. Help us to learn lessons for ourselves and in perspective for the future, and especially with reference to leadership roles. We pray for your blessings upon us as we take up the study of your word this evening once again. We give thanks for this opportunity to go a little deeper in our comprehension of what it means to be called to be a leader. In Jesus' name, amen. And I thought it was necessary to once again set up goals for any conference, for every conference. And I thought it would be good also to take time to recall some of the features, some of the goals of the past three retreats. And I've just sort of summarized them rather than to make a whole list of them. Okay? In the past, the last three, and I have counted something like over 80 pages on the subject of leadership. And the first thing that we wanted to take note of was this idea of the fact that leadership is a doctrine. Church leadership, spiritual leadership, is not going out there to buy a book on the leaders in you, leadership manual, and then, hey, I am now a leader. It doesn't work that way. So we began some time back to look at this idea of leadership as a doctrine. Now, if we understand it properly, if it is truly doctrine, then obviously we must look at the scriptures. Because that's our source, that's our authority. So if we do not have it as a doctrine, then it's a free-for-all. It's your guess is as good as mine. But if it is doctrine, then we have no choice. We have to go back to the Lord's Word and say, so these are the teachings. These are the aspects of the doctrine of leadership as the Scriptures spell it out. Now, that was some of the goals that we touched on when we first began this series. This is by no means the end, I must tell you. Okay? This is by no means the end. Now, we went on further to talk about, if there is a doctrine, is there also a practice? Because if we speak only of doctrine and no practice, then again we will have a void somewhere. And if there is a practice, what is that practice? Whom may we cite as an example, or as a person who may be cited as an excellent leader? And we single out the man called Moses. And we looked at this whole idea of spiritual leadership exemplified by Moses. There is a concept, there is a doctrine, there is a practice as far as we can see in the life of Moses. Right? Well, this is as far, we go back to when we first began. Then we single out and looked at the features that were obviously in him. And we speak about spiritual leadership as something that requires faith in God. You may be a CEO, COO, CFO, you name them, out there in the secular world. It does not follow that you are a spiritual leader in the church. What's the difference? Faith in God. The CEO does not need to have faith in God. He hires and He fires. But in spiritual work, without that faith as a foundation, without the practice of faith, he will fail. And so our focus was on the place of faith in leadership. I think that was something that we wanted to consider. We went on further to talk about not just having an initial faith, even if that's true. The leader must maintain a walk with God. If he just bases it on ideas, principles, even practices, and does it mechanically, but does not have a walk with God, he will never be able to offer the kind of spiritual leadership that God would like to see in a person. It's not about constitutions and being able to cite it. It's not about Bible verses that we can quote either. It's about the dynamism of one's walk with God on a diligent basis. Well, that was a practice that we wanted to consider, and we saw that. And we also recognize that this man must be a man of prayer in order to face the challenges in ministry. And he has, this last couple of months, we've been talking, this month rather, and next month as well, the spirit of faith. And the spirit of faith will then enable him to be able to overcome whatever problems, challenges, difficulties there may be in life and in ministry. Okay? And if you really want to look at it further, you can ask for the past series. I think they're all recorded. The notes are certainly available, and you can study them very carefully. But this is to give you briefly what it is that we are going to look at. Okay? Now, in this particular series, tonight, tomorrow, we're going to talk about spiritual leadership once again. But this time, we talk about not Moses' kind of leadership level. Because I think most of us would not dare to be out in Mount Nebo or Mount Sinai. Right? Can we look at leadership at the lower ground level? Is there such a thing? So we are going to say, this is not top tier leadership. We are going to submit ourselves that we probably need to learn some pretty basic stuff. And I thought it would be good if we can be honest with ourselves and say, this is it. Now I want to speak about this idea of shared leadership. I think this is important to understand this idea of shared leadership. It does not mean, however, that you're going to be pastor next week. This is not shared leadership. To be able to participate in the same ministry is shared leadership. It is not the same as, okay, next week you're speaking. No, you're not. That's not what we mean by when we talk about shared leadership. We're talking about different roles. Right? But it is still part of the whole leadership idea, concept. And we're going to talk about this a little bit. So that a person who has duties, authority over 4 or 5 people can speak of shared leadership with Moses. We are fellow workers, as it were. But not in the same as I'm part of the 70 elders. So we must never think of shared leadership as sitting only in a session. We can speak of shared leadership even when we do something simpler. That's what we want to consider when talking in terms of shared leadership. Okay? And I'm hoping that this set of goals here will cause us to be stirred up in the heart to accept opportunities to learn what it means to be a leader. And I hope that this will mean that we can serve at different levels, maybe being a committee member at a young people's group or something like that. But, you know, and to say, well, I can do this, I can try this. Okay? And we're going to, of course, to be warned forewarned that leadership does not prevent problems, and we want to know how we can deal with this. Okay. I've written a little poem on the subject of a call to be a leader. I want to read this to you. It's my own reflection on Exodus 3, and also with by way of introduction to what it means for us to struggle with the idea of being a leader. You know, part of us says, I'd like to be a leader. Another part of us says, wow, that's a bit much. And this is the struggle. This poem depicts the struggle between a part of us that says, I want to serve the Lord, I would like to be considered a leader, and another part that says that I'm scared of being a leader. Well, this is what we're talking about. Okay? The thought of being a leader often causes dread. That's what Moses felt when God called him. The heart seems to be naturally afraid. And so Moses said, I cannot speak. Afraid of problems, afraid of failure, afraid of everything that seemed to spell danger. I think we all understand that. The heart cringes and the mind withdraws. Leadership challenges seem to appall. Yet the question of leadership cannot be set aside. The love of God and the word of Christ abide. In other words, the Lord's love appeals to us. The word of God tells us, listen, attempt this, consider this. God gently calls us to reconsider His pleading. Perhaps we have failed to appreciate His leading. It is not so much that we are doing the leading, for God is always there to do the guiding. That is leadership. It's not about us, it's about God. This is what 2 Corinthians 2:14 tells us. He leads us. Right? Triumphantly. And we are fragrance, as it were, of the Lord. Why should the heart give in to fear and to unbelief? Why cannot the spirit overcome the flesh's grief? Leadership is such a great and precious privilege. It must be reconsidered in the light of full knowledge. This is what we're trying to do here. Okay? God will be there to undertake all tasks. He will grant all the petitions that we ask. Do we wish for grace and strength and power? We will find that all these on us God will shower. Many people have become good leaders of God, and these are the ones our hearts applaud. We can be included among that throng. We too will be able to sing the victory song. This is my challenge, that we will be able to move from being uncertain to being able to say, you know, I have a victory song to sing as well. Well, this is the struggle of it all. And so we begin this whole challenge of looking at the call to leadership. In the book of Exodus chapter 18, we see a word, and tonight we want to take a look at this in chapter 18. We want to take a look at this very carefully. Now, it's a pretty long 1, 2, 3 pages. And I want to consider with you the advice given by Jethro. Okay? But in order to begin here, we have to know a little bit about this man called Jethro. And he came to see Moses walking, no jets in those days. And he came to Moses, and he was a priest of Midian. In the early days, it's not easy to be called a priest of. When he's called a priest of Midian, not that he's the only priest, but that he's an outstanding one, so that he may earn the title priest of Midian. Now he has 7 daughters, we are told in Exodus 2. And he owned sheep, and he was the father-in-law of Moses in chapter 4. Okay, so we must take a look at the person who gives advice. The person who gives advice must be a person of some stature Otherwise, his advice is just pretty empty. Right? So we're not looking at a person who has got nothing there. This person has got something to offer. Here is a person who has, because he's a priest, he has some spiritual knowledge. Okay, so he has religious knowledge behind him. I think that's the important thing to consider. Right? Now we go on further. To have one daughter is plenty. To have seven of them makes him quite experienced. So now they've got eight people, all ladies. And to survive this is really quite a challenge. Okay? Now, if he became feminine, wow, that would be a big problem. But he wasn't. I mean, he remained to be priest. So this guy, this man, he was a family man. And he was not only priest, family man, but he owned sheep. Now, if only one sheep, nothing to talk about. Moses, you look after one sheep, cannot be. Moses has to take his sheep out there, find pasture. It cannot be two sheep either. There has to be a flock. So this man was a person who had a flock of sheep or more, and then he's able to get Moses to give my son-in-law. He is gainfully employed to look after the sheep, and then it's got to be big enough, large enough flock for him to go and have to look for pasture. So this would be a person who is a businessman, as it were. He is able, so he has a variety of experiences in life. Religious experience, family experience, some business experience. So that makes him fairly qualified. Okay, and of course, I think the big responsibility was when Zipporah, the daughter, says, I'm not going down to Egypt with Moses, I'm going to stay here. Right? And he has to look after Zipporah and to look after the two sons, two grandsons, during the time when Moses was in Egypt taking the people out. So that added some more experience to his life. Okay? So this is important. So there was a lot of support there, a lot of understanding shown. And in Exodus chapter 18, we read of Jethro coming to hear of what God had done for Moses, for Israel, his people, and the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Now, being what he was, he talks to Zipporah all this while, and took Zipporah, Moses' wife, and he sent her back. Now, send her back would tell you that Zipporah was not very keen about going back. But he had to do the right thing. Send her back. Whether she liked it or not, she had to go back. I'm not going to look after you, Zipporah. You belong to Moses and his family, his tribe, and off you go. So he sent her back. Okay? And of course, he sent with her two sons, of whom the one was called Gershom, and the other one was called Eliezer. So at least you know the names of the two sons. Okay. So as we see him introduced here, there was cordial greeting between the two of them, and Moses respected him a lot, bowed down, verse 7, and kissed him, and they asked each other about their well-being, and they went into the tent. So they had a great time of fellowship, and they had Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh, to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had come upon them on the way, how the Lord had delivered them. Four topics on fellowship. That's the kind of fellowship they have. It's not, how was your journey? I hope there were no incidents. I hope the scorpions didn't bite you. You know, things that we would very often talk about, hope the sun was not too hot. How can the sun be anything but hot? You know, I mean, we talk a lot of stuff which are mundane,
which are inane, sometimes insane. Well, why talk things like that? This was big stuff. This is about how God delivered. It's about how Israel came out of Egypt. This is about all these things. These are exciting things to talk about. That is great fellowship. That is wonderful fellowship. And of course, they had a great time together. And Jethro said, "Blessed be the Lord who has delivered you out of the hand of Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians." So deliverance all the time. And of course, he also blessed the Lord for this. Okay, so it was a good time. And then we read, "Now I know the Lord is greater than all the gods, for in the very thing in which they had behaved proudly, he was above them." Then Jethro took a burnt offering and other sacrifices to offer to God. And Aaron came with all the elders to eat bread with Moses, father-in-law, before God. So it was a wonderful time of worship, which will tell you that what Jethro's faith was like was very, very akin and certainly companionable, as it were, to that which Moses would espouse, despite the fact that he was from Midian. Okay? So this was a good affinity of these two men here that we're seeing. Now, this is the introduction to Jethro. Now, any questions you want to ask, please raise up. Then I will move on from here. Anything? Yes, you use the mic so that we can hear each other. Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you, Pastor Charlie. I would just like to ask, did Jethro believe in the Christian God?
No. We don't call it Christian God. Christ hasn't come yet. Did he believe in the same God? Yes. Otherwise, cannot offer worship. The Christian God, technically, cannot be used until after Christ has come. Otherwise, it becomes an anachronism. Meaning to say, we're using a terminology that doesn't exist at a point of time. So this is called an anachronistic reference. Okay, you cannot use it because it's a wrong idea. But did he believe in the same God? If they don't believe in the same God, it's going to be very difficult. So here is worship God, Moses worshipping God, and here he said, "Can I bring up my tiny little idol?" Cannot. Of course it would not be possible. They have to share. See, one, he acknowledged, "Your God led the people out of Egypt. God is above all the others. When other people were proud, there he was above all of them doing what he wishes." And so he worshipped the God who delivered Israel out of Egypt. I would say yes. But not the word Christian God. That would be a phrase that you could not use effectively or correctly. I hope that explains it. Okay? And they worshipped together. And all the elders came together. And so they were there. Okay? Does that help you to see this? Okay. Anybody else? Alright, now we go on further to talk about this idea of how Jethro went on to observe. The next day, Moses said to judge the people. And the people stood before Moses from morning till evening. Now that was a very, very challenging thing. Okay? And so when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, "What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit, and all the people stand before you from morning until evening?" And Moses said honestly to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a difficulty, they come to me. I judge between one another, and I make known the statutes of God and His laws." Well, that was the situation. So he began to observe. "So what are you doing?" Of course, being an 80-year-old man, he would be allowed to sit. Okay? I mean, this is very obvious. So then the people would just, have a long, long queue and trying to reach Moses. And you can just imagine. Okay, even if he gives 5 minutes to one person, and then you think of 10,000 people, that's 50,000 minutes. That's a lot of minutes. And it's going to be a long time before he said hello. What was your name again? Another Joshua. This is the 15th Joshua I've seen. And so on and so forth. How many Eliezers? How many Caleb? Wow, you can imagine. You can just, it's just after a while, computers were not existing in those days. You need one quickly to just make all the figures add up together. So it's a very, very long thing. And so he said, the thing you do is not good. You and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out. This thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel. Well, that prompted the writing of the second poem, I Will Give You Counsel. Okay? Now, I just wanted to help you to understand where we're coming from on this matters here. Okay? This is thing here. So, let's look at the questions. What is this thing you are doing for the people? Okay? Moses, you explain. Well, I'm here. The people got problems. They got difficulties. They come to ask me. I tell them God's laws. They go away. Now, how long will this one take? It will take more than 5 minutes. There are some people are hard of hearing. 10 minutes. Some people are talkative. Want to ask questions. 15 minutes. We call it long consultation. And it's really, really hard. Another one, well, have quarrels. 20 minutes. So that number of minutes will just keep adding. And you know, it is not, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to say, to conclude this, Moses, you cannot do this. No matter how much of a heart you have, it is just not good. So this is it. Why do you alone sit and all the 10 people stand before you? So I would like to read this. If you got no question, I'd like to read this for you, just for your own learning. The multitude stood in line for judgment the whole day through. Each waited to see Moses, God's servant, mighty and true. But the line seemed to grow longer with each passing day. The people grew less restless and weary along the way. You can imagine. 9,000 more to go. You can imagine. This is terrible. Moses had the kindest heart anyone could wish to see. But the lack of more leaders struck home painfully. At the end of each long day, many were tired and with the scene. A better system must be found, or the patience of all will grow thin. Counsel from Jethro was given from both a heart of love and pain. Moses cannot serve alone, or he will collapse under the strain. Other leaders must arise, all desirous the Lord to please. The work of God will then be done with greater ease. What kind of leaders would God raise up and deploy? Those who love to devote more time to His laws, which they enjoy. They have studied the life of Moses and are impressed. They seek to walk in all his ways and do not mind the stress. They would serve as leaders in any given capacity. The service would be given with heartfelt humility. This counsel from Jethro was received with gratitude. His counsel would be followed by Moses and the multitude. Well, this is where we are today. Okay? So we want to ask ourselves what we are up about tonight and the next day, and we want to ask ourselves, how can we address this problem? So this was Jethro asking, and his reply was up here. The people come to inquire of God. Okay? Now, any questions you want to ask on this matter here? Okay, these are just very factual things here. And I think the application is quite obvious. Okay? They don't need a Jethro to come and tell me what you're doing cannot be sustained beyond a certain degree. Okay? So when people are tired, that's why they end up writing poems. Okay? So it's a strain gets drained. when you write poems. I hope. Now, I hope you understand this. I mean, this is very, very obvious. So, we want to realize that the challenge is there, and the challenge is the thing that you do is not good. Not that his counsel is not good. Not that Moses is not good. But the system as it stands is not good. Right? You don't have to be 80 years old to feel the strain. You need to just take a look at the amount of work and you begin to realize it just cannot go on indefinitely. You and the people will wear out. And Jethro told him, work is too much for you. Right? I think we all understand, we all agree. Now, again I say, it is not about who would like to be the pastor next. And then next week you become ordained to be a full-fledged pastor. It doesn't work like that. But we must consider seriously what it means for us to take a look at this challenge of leadership. Okay? The one leader is not enough. Two leaders, Aaron, not enough. Third leader, Miriam, not enough. Add on Joshua, not enough. Add on Caleb, not enough. They all want to talk to Moses. You see the problem with it all? The challenge is very obvious. It is not enough. Well, that's what we are looking at over here. Now, it doesn't mean, okay, now I retire. Okay, Moses said, I hear you, I'm going to retire. You're all going to go back to Egypt. He cannot retire. Or worse, they're going to start making more calves. So this is not the answer. Jethro is not saying, Moses, you cannot, you don't need to serve anymore. No. But he must serve in capacities that nobody else can serve in. Now that is good leadership. And here it is. Stand before God for the people. Page 3e. Now this is important. So this is Moses, Jethro's advice. Okay? Because nobody can stand before God as Moses could, has, or will ever. That was his role. Okay, now you stand there before God for the people. As mediator, as intercessor. That's fine. Okay, this is one role nobody wants there to attempt to say, well, I want to do that. Because it's not going to work. There are very few people who can play that role. Well, that would be virtually, almost exclusively the role of Moses. Not even Aaron comes a close second. There was nobody like Moses. The other person who came a little closer would appear many, many hundreds of years later, Samuel. And only two people were singled out by God as worthy of mention. Moses and Samuel. That's it. So that's why Jethro, you need to devote time. You stand before God. For who can stand before God 40 days, 40 nights? Apart from Moses. Some people 40 minutes, they must eat already. And after a full dinner, they can eat and say, what shall we have for breakfast? It's not going to work. Right? So we are looking at Jethro saying very, very correctly, he saw Moses as the man of prayer. Now, you go ahead. Now, the first part of it is exactly what we covered in the first three leadership series. Okay? You must teach the people the laws and statutes of God, the doctrine of leadership, involving faith in God, involving knowledge of God. You got to have that in first. stand before God and the people, teach the people the laws and statutes of God. Because nobody knew the laws and statutes of God like Moses, because he wrote it on behalf of God. Right? So if you were to ask him any questions, I mean, obviously the person who wrote it would know it better than others who merely read it or understand it. This is a textbook writer. So obviously you want a textbook writer what he meant when he used that word or that phrase or the idea. Well, Moses, you got to teach people, no question. But teaching the people and seeing to all their problems are not the same thing. Right? Teach the people. That's what we're doing. Teach the people here. Alright? Peace. Moses, your focus. Show them the way they must walk. And I don't mean can't walk. We're talking about this is the way to go. How to walk means how to pray. Means how to read the scriptures. Means how to love the Lord. Right? Means how to worship. This is what we mean by show them how to walk. And Moses was a great example of that. Right? So Moses, you teach them, you stand before God, you teach them, you show them the way, you show them the work they must do. This is how to worship. This we must do. We hide the word of God in our heart. This we must do. This is your part, Moses. Please do not think it is a lesser part. It is not a lesser part when you focus on this. Because nobody else can do this. And I mean nobody. So his ministry will be there, will be secure. Nobody can touch that ministry. Because nobody has his kind of knowledge, or walk, or faith, or wisdom, or experience at this point of time. You'll be surprised how much he can learn. Because in Exodus 18, and then in Deuteronomy 1, not the same thing exactly. Okay? This is shortly after they've come out of Egypt. You see, it's not the question of how many years of experience you have. That's one advantage. Rather, it is how much you can learn in a short period of time. That is the leader. Okay? I think this is important. This is something we all need to go through. When we go through a very, very tough experience, that one single tough experience can actually teach us lessons about leadership that years of studying in a Bible school cannot. For obvious reasons, because we've experienced it. 40 days up in a mountain with God would stand Moses in better stead than go to a school of prayer and learn all the principles about praying. So Moses, you're the only person who can do this. You must stand in prayer. You must teach the people. You must show the people what to do and so on and so forth. Now, this part of it. Okay? So this is your work. This is your leadership level. This is your tier. Nobody is going to come close to that. But there is another tier. Moses, think this through very carefully. And he said, select from the people. 18:21. Moreover, you shall select from all the people. And then he says, now you go ahead, select them. You must know who they are, what they can do. Select the people. They are potential leaders. You know, sometimes you have this cliche that says, God is not looking for able men, only available men. Not true. There are lots of people available to be pastors. Doesn't mean that they're able people. There are many people who are available to be surgeons. A lot of people are going to get butchered. Obviously, you need people who are able, not just available. A person is available to pray, but cannot pray. Available to teach, but nothing to teach. So you need able. And Jethro was very, very wise to the point, he says, you must look for able men. Able people. Is this person able? Remember, this is spiritual work. This is not secular work. You may be able to do certain things, but it does not mean that you are able to do spiritual work for the Lord. Right? So this is important. So this is, you must look for able people. Okay? Secondly, you must look for people who really fear God. Okay? So if you don't have people who will do the work of God because they fear Him, you're not going to go anywhere. You must look at people who are men of truth. Men of the Word. Men who speak truth. And they're not doing it out of money. Hating covetousness. They're not doing it for the sake of money. Now, we have got 1, 2, 3, 4 things here. These things are basic. Part of the doctrine of leadership, which we have mentioned, which you will see in the book of Acts chapter 6, you will see the same thing, or very similar ideas there. You can't run away from this. It's all the same. Is this a person able? Okay? Or unable? So the person is unable, the person is unable. Finish. Nothing to talk further. So we are looking all the time for people who are able. Do we see the person as people who fear God? Are they people of truth? Are they people who hate covetousness? I think it's important. You know, they had a test as to which was the honest cities in the world. 12 wallets, $50 inside. Finland, out of 12, 11 returned. Wow, that's impressive. Portugal, that area, only one return. All the rest pocketed it, including the wallet. Untung, one new wallet. So you have extreme, you know, in over in Europe side. So you have, that will return. This one says, well, this is my lucky day. I just found a wallet with 50 bucks inside, 50 euros. How about that? And they tested out in a dozen countries, and they found that, this is an honest country. Of course, you can't gauge, you know, but at least you get an idea what would happen. Hating covetousness. I think this is very important for us to consider, whether the person can be tempted with money or not. And the person can be tempted with money. This is a dangerous person. He's not going to be trusted with money at all. Okay, any questions you want to ask about this idea of ability? Yeah, Pastor Mark. Mike, do we have any more mics there? Daniel, just pass it over. Yeah, whatever is nearest. No need to worry, but you know, sometimes one person's not ready, just pass it over. Yeah.
Pastor, two questions.
Yeah.
One is, why didn't Moses has the wisdom of this understanding?
Okay, I think we have already said this very clearly. This is only a few months after coming out of Egypt. Right? I mean, this is a few months. So the exigencies of the situation would be, people are there, where do we stay? What about the children? What about the old guys? What about school for the children? And they will keep coming to him. These are immediate situations. So when you come out of, okay, now we've come out of the land of Egypt. We are now facing a new land. Where do we go? What do we do? What is the route? How do we organize ourselves? Who would be? These are all valid questions, and they all line up. Once you start, you don't know how to stop. Not that he didn't have the wisdom to see. He didn't have time to breathe. So the context of the situation would say, look, there is no time to breathe at all. No toilet, no time for toilet breaks. I mean, this is just one end, no end, right? This is just, wow, one after the other. That's the first situation. Jethro came along at a point of time, there was a welcome break. Okay? People will excuse you because your father-in-law came all the way from Midian, of course, off day. Go and spend time with father-in-law. Go back, reunite with the family. Have not seen the children for some time. How are they? If he has forgotten their names, he's in trouble. You better go back a little bit and spend a bit of time with the kids. I mean, that's correct. But at this point of time, it's just a whole flood of responsibilities put on his shoulders. He hasn't had a whole lot of time to organize things at all. We're looking at, remember, 600,000 men. Later on we'll talk about the military wing, we'll talk about the priestly group, we're going to talk about many, many different groups, the tribal leaders, and so on and so forth. It's just too much, all together, all at the same time, and off we go. Were there leaders already? Yes. The elders were Moses, greeted Jethro, and then they even had a time for worship and fellowship. Were there leaders? Yes. But they were not formally appointed just yet. Jethro is pushing Moses, look, you got to appoint people officially to do all these things here. Now, what is his role? Not yet determined. What about the roles of the other people? Not yet yet. So far, he is just simply leading ad hoc. He's just really the leader de facto. That's it. He became the leader because God appointed him. That was it. And so he was the man of the hour. Everybody came to see Moses. Would you like to see Aaron? No, I'll just see Moses. What about that? No, I'll just wait. Whenever I see a long queue, you join it. This habit was there, established long ago. Join the queue. Must be good. And they were right. Must be good. Problem is, good for whom? Not Moses. Excuse me. Wow. This is a barrage. I mean, he's been just hearing. Box of tissue there, no tissue paper. Number here, some, a piece of cloth. All those who got sob stories. Okay, now. And there are problems. All kinds of difficulties. You name it, you have it. Right? How many people? What's your queue number? Very long. 9977654. Whoa! It's a long queue. Oh, boy. I mean, it's going to be a problem. And some people will come and ask silly questions. You know, my son doesn't want to eat. What? Please tell him to eat. I mean, everybody would have wanted to throw him to the scorpions or something like that. But there is really more a situation here. The whole thing hasn't been fully organized yet. And you can understand why. They were all rushing to get out of Egypt. They were the dancing team, Miriam, they were dancing, you know. The Lord has, so they were, he's not going to organize the ladies. You can be sure. He's got more important things to do. Right? So there's so many things he needs to get done. He's got to listen to God. He's got to intercede for the people. And he's got to pray. He's got to instruct. He's got so many things in his head. He doesn't know whether he's coming or going. Poor Moses. He's also 80 years old. I mean, we cannot forget that he is not a spring chicken anymore. He needs to sit down. Can I sit down for a while? All right. Now, talk to me. And he cannot say, next. He's not even looking at the next one. He's got to pay attention. Hey, listen to me. I want to talk to you. Okay. He's got to listen to the person. He's got to see the person. He's got to... Wow. So it's challenging, I mean, to say the least. So this is at that point, at that moment. Okay, second question.
Second question has to do with Jethro. How is it possible for him to, as priest or Midianite to gain such kind of insights concerning
Jethro, is it?
Yeah, Jethro.
That's why I say I make one old man. He's older than Moses. At least 20 years older. Alright? Because Zipporah is married. Right?
So he's got to be... It's not just about experience, it's about the word of God. I mean, he made reference to the scriptures, he made reference to God's commandments.
Exactly. It's a question of how fast he learned. It's a question of how fast a person can learn. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. We all can learn either slowly, take a time, or learn very fast. God said to Moses, I'm going to wipe them out. Learn fast how to pray. He's got to learn fast. Most of those lessons, the spiritual leaders, you've got to learn quickly. When God said, your people versus my people, he straight away picked up the nuance. There is a difference. God is angry. We better pray some more. God offered me, I will wipe them out. I will start all over again with you. Oh, no. What about Abraham? You made a promise. No, not from me. Not through me. Thank you very much. There was the challenge. That sensitivity is so important. The question is, of course, how Jethro became the man they were. Why was he called priest of Midian? Midian was a very big country. It's not like Singapore. And to be called priest of, named of, like Midian, think of Midian, think of priest. Think of priest, think of Jethro. That kind of standing. So he has earned his right to be very quick, to be able to observe, to be very astute, to be able to come up with quick advice immediately. And that is what you would need for a person to be effective as a leader. And Jethro was that kind of leader. Right? So he had to juggle priestly duties. He has to look after his family. He has a flock of sheep as well. Plus, chances are, being a priest of Midian, a lot of civil responsibilities to fulfill. So this person would have vast experience rather than just being father-in-law. He was not a home priest. A priest to the seven ladies in the family, no. It would be a priest of Midian. Which means to say that he'll probably travel from, just like Samuel later on would travel of Israel from place to place, make his circuit, and off he would go. So it would be quite challenging to do that. Okay, so you have to allow for Jethro to be the man that he was. You see, the question, one of the things that I always look at would be, how fast can we learn from anything? And if we want to learn quickly, we can. Whether we are learning lessons from the scriptures, or whether we are learning things like, I mean, this is very, very, very important. We began the whole idea of getting the morning class people to memorizing Bible verses. And, you know, it's really, really, really a real joy and blessing to the heart to see people cite 10 verses at one go. Nobody just wants to memorize a single verse anymore. No, I want to take this whole passage. This is my passage for this week. Boy, that's impressive. It's a question of how fast we can learn. And it really, really can learn very, very much. Now, this is to share with you how quickly things can move. Okay? We began with the idea of looking at the poems that we have. Suddenly the class says, well, let's look at it. Can we improve upon it, make it into a postcard that we can write things behind and give to people? In hospital, encouragement, and so on and so forth. Went on further to, well, let's look at cards, Christmas cards. I've got 2 Christmas poems done already. And we can share with other people Christmas. And then, you know, the key word, outreach. Okay? I had one other person who wrote to me and asked, is there, Pastor, have you got a poem for children sitting for exams? So I wrote one called A Child's Prayer. how to sit for exams and so on and so forth. And you know, suddenly out of nowhere, we're seeing a potential ministry developing. You know, so this is important. So Naomi wrote to me and said, "Pastor, you have you got a poem? My friend's father just passed away." So I said to her, "This poem is for a believer. This will bring comfort. I don't write this for other people." Am I making sense to you? And so people have been saying this thing. So it can be done, can be learned quickly. The question is to be challenged to learn quickly. To learn in a disciplined manner. Learn it well. And we quickly can look at these things here. And is it possible? Answer, yes. But we must learn quickly. What Jethro learned very, very on the spot. He has to assess. I think this is very important. Jane, when you want to do an operation, how long does it take for you to discover where the problem is? I hope it's not 4 hours. You have to, very, very quickly, you must assess. Able men, you must be able to do this. Right? So when you go to the court cases, when you're battling what you are battling right now, vanity, give me 2 years. No, forget about it. You need it 2 days and you're done. You know, you got to burn the midnight oil. You got to come up with a thing here. You got to think like crazy. You got to think deeply and you got to come up with arguments or you're going to lose it. That is leadership. And if you cannot come up with the strength of heart and of mind and of spirit to match the situation, they will always overwhelm you. Okay, there was only one leader like that. Moses. Okay, now, Jethro did not speak very much about all the other aspects. He does not say, you're a great organizer. He just simply says, you stand before God. Okay? In his role as intercessor, mediator, no one close to him. Teaching the Lord's word, nobody close to him. Right? You show them how to walk before the Lord. Fantastic example. But Jethro did not tell him, you're a great organizer. He says, what you're doing is not good. He needs to learn. And we all need to learn. We all need to learn how to organize ourselves. And that's how it works. So the challenge would be to find other people. So we had a team of people. Okay, we're going to hopefully do a book on the Gospel of John, and we are looking at a number of poems that we can use in the book of Gospel of John. How many poems should we have? Who's going to design it? Okay, we have a team. Christmas cards one, we have another team. You cannot everything put onto one person. Okay, the person will collapse. No need to be a Moses to collapse. Even a young person, you can collapse. You can't do that. You need a lot of other people. That's what we're talking about. A lot of leaders. Can we have them? This will then be here. You see, this is a support leadership level. But it is not the same as, I'd like to sit in your privy council. It's not going to happen. Can I pray with you, Moses? 40 days, you can stand or not? Can't. Okay, sorry. Better be down below. Very few people can take the strain of it all. Jesus asked his disciples to pray. 1 hour, fall asleep. They're dead already. Cannot. Too tired. Dead tired. No. You've got to play different roles for different people. What is your area of strength? Are you able? Okay, now there's one area. You hate covetousness. Good. You can look after the treasury. But if you love money, don't go anywhere near there. Because you're going to be in trouble. And everybody's going to be in trouble. Well, we all know this. Right? So, someone wrote to me and said, Pastor, it's just very sad, he said, that Christians are perceived as people who don't know how to handle money properly. You know? And of course, with reference to some churches and how they handle money.
Well, that's what we need to learn. We've got to learn all these things here. We just have to consider all these things. So we've got to see what skill the person has, what strength the person has, and so on and so forth. Put them all together and say, this is what we want to do. Leadership. Okay? So you teach the people. So as you teach the people, you will know that some can teach, some cannot teach. Ask those who can teach, teach. Those who cannot teach, don't teach. Sing. You want to have a choir. You have, can sing, you sing. You cannot sing, please don't sing. You just spoil the choir. Songwriter, do other things. Be an usher. You cannot means you cannot. That's it. It's as simple as that. But it takes a lot of humility on Moses' part to learn, to hear. You're right, my father-in-law, thank you very much. You're right. But somebody has got to make sense to Moses over here. And Moses listened, and we're glad he did. And so, he added one other thing, and he said, okay, you appoint them. Place such over them rulers of thousands, hundreds, fifties, tens. Tens. Just tens. Well, we have to maybe add fives. At a different level. You know what I'm trying to say? So it's very, very important for us to understand and appreciate. So the responsibilities will now be such. Okay, section this one over here, thousand. The thousand divided into hundreds. Hundreds into fifties. Fifties into tens. That's your thousand. Okay? So that's what we're looking at. And so he was giving him a suggestion. He's just looking at a rough idea how to look at it. There are people with skills that can lead a thousand. But there are people who cannot lead a thousand. They can lead hundreds maybe. Or maybe fifties. You've got to know your skills. You've got to know your skill level, your authority level, your ability level. You got to know your wisdom level, your knowledge level. You got to be able to do that. Then you can assess yourself, this is what I can do. Okay? In 18:22. And we read, let them judge the people at all times. In other words, in a smaller way. But then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you. Every small matter they themselves shall judge. Small matters versus great matters. Come on, we can surely tell the difference. Well, that's what leadership is all about. It's not about, let's say, appoint you to some committee. No. In this particular case here, it is, has got a judicial aspect. Great matters, small matters, distinguish. Sub-court, high court. You've got to distinguish between, you know, these levels. Otherwise, we'll go crazy. Small little incision, GPs can. I got a little splinter. Oh, I better call the neurosurgeon. Please, what's wrong with you? You got money to throw? He would be very happy to operate on you too. First on your brains. What's wrong with you? I mean, I've seen people like that. I was at Mount E visiting one day, and there was a businessman, you know, he was yelling and shouting. Everybody was scared of him. Where are the doctors? This is A&E. Where are the doctors? This is lunchtime, sir. What do you mean lunchtime? Look, I'm bleeding to death. And there he was. So I just stood and watched him. Nobody came near him. I mean, I don't know who he was. I know he was yelling. Everybody heard him. I was looking down and I said, what is this guy? Was he really? If he's really serious in trouble and he really died, he won't be shouting. Right? So this was my quick assessment, you know. And he was a little bit of, I said, where's the blood dripping that's all over the place? It cannot be. Now over here, the hand tends to bleed a little bit more than other because I've had injury before. You know, it bleeds like crazy. And so like along came the matron there. And he said, sir, can I help you? Introduce yourself. I'm the matron here. And, you know, I'm sorry to know. And slowly, gently talk to him. He's a whisperer.
Okay. And then he said, well, let me take a look. I've already called the doctor. He's coming to you very, very quickly. Now, just let me treat you. You just sit down for a while. Then I watched her talk to him very, very gently. And there was a tiny little cut. See? But he's a big shot, you see? So a tiny little cut, also not acceptable. He wants a blood transfusion. These are just guys who are so used to getting their own ways that even in the hospital, they are yelling and screaming and shouting and everything else. And there it is. And there was nothing wrong with him. So after the whole day, well, let me just dress it up for you. Let me just clean up for you, okay? Now, then I'll wait the doctor to come. And in the next 10-15 minutes, it was just a little plaster. The blood had already stopped. And there it was. The doctor never came. The man said, oh, no need. I don't even know whether she even called doctor. Because once look at it, person too strong to be seriously ill. If you are bleeding to death, you would have gone already. You know, you would be, come on, these are so obvious signs. Right? You don't need to be a neurosurgeon to see that. But that's what we're looking at. So, Moses, look at people with the ability. Thousands, hundreds, fifties, tens. Well, can I be ruler over thousands? How old are you? 18 years old. Please, sit down. And maybe you've got to know. Age will tell you. Knowledge will tell you. All right, recite the Hebrew alphabet. Alphabet, Gimel, Dalet. Oh, you know where beyond that? Sit down. Learn some more. See, a lot of people like to volunteer to be leaders when they're not able to. Those who can, keep quiet. And this has always been a problem. Now we want to see whether we can overcome this. Okay? So this is the challenge of it all. So Moses heeded. In 18:25, verse 24, Moses heeded the voice, did all that he had said. Moses chose able men out of Israel, made them heads, and so... Now, this is what we call a summary text. Okay? So, if you read this, it's what we call a summary text. Did he finally do it? Did he do it in 5 minutes? No. So, this is basically a summation. Okay? What he said? Good. Now, tomorrow morning, we will take up Deuteronomy 1, because we're going to have a slightly different perspective of this incident. Okay, so we will just have a... And they're not... They don't. It doesn't mean the scriptures clash. It means that now we're looking at two different texts, two different ways of writing, and we're looking, taking a look at the fact that these things are going to be done, but it's going to be done in a certain way. Okay, so we read. Moses heeded, and that's why we say a wise man will hear, Proverbs 1. Okay? And he did, not only heed, but he did. And then he chose able men out of all Israel, made them heads. So they judged the people at all times, the hard cases they brought to Moses. Then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way to his own land. Okay? So this is quite challenging. Roughly, when did this take place? Chapter 19. In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt. So this would happen within about 2 months after they got out. Which is not a whole lot of time to get things organized. We're talking about organizing for, you know, in seven figures. It is not easy. Alright, any questions you want to ask on this matter here? About this whole idea of leadership and all. Anything? All right. Well, this is the historical contextual part. We're going to take a look at the book of Proverbs a little bit. And I thought this would be an interesting aspect to consider. To know wisdom. And then we read, a wise man will hear and increase learning. That was Moses. He will hear. Now, his father-in-law, I hear you. Okay? And he will increase learning. He's already got to learn a lot of learning behind him. He's going to learn some more. That is a mark of a truly wise man. He will keep learning all the time. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Truly. He's already understanding. He knows, Jethro, you are right. Thank you for telling me. And he's going to do it. But how he actually did it, we will discuss tomorrow. But in principle, in concept, he will do it. It's just how he did it, Exodus 18 doesn't give us the full details. Okay, we've got to factor all these things in. Deuteronomy 1, Exodus 18, put them together and say, so this is how it works. Alright? Questions you want to raise up about the wisdom of Moses here. Another thing about leadership, and this is important, evaluation here, is great humility. It takes a lot of humility to learn from anybody, because here is a man who brings Pharaoh down to his knees. Here's a man who has performed 10 miracles. Jethro, zero. Right? We're talking about a person with tremendous spiritual might and standing before God. Jethro does not hope to compete as far as his standing before with Moses. Nobody comes close second. The important thing is to really commend and to appreciate Moses for the man that he was. With humility, he listened. I think this is important. So when we look at the kind of person that Moses was in his response, we see this thing called humility. And a lot of respect. Okay? Respect, greeted him, bowed before him, kissed him, you know, and so on and so forth. The kind of respect that he gave to Jethro is just a superb example. Okay? And then, of course, that is very, very important. Sensitivity to the Lord's leading. Is God leading along these lines? And it's important for us. And the answer must be yes. I can see the Lord's leading here. Okay? Something that we need to think about. If God is leading in something, He will confirm it. No, the ability will be there. The skill will be given. The strength will be there. The grace will be offered. Everything else, it goes together. It has taken nothing away. In terms of time, Moses is still going to be very occupied. Right? Because there will be times that he will be 40 days, 40 nights praying. Nobody will come a close second. Right? So there will be all kinds of situations where he is involved in leading the people, listening to God, writing all these things down, and so on and so forth. And even at times to compose poems. So he was one of my first heroes. When I first began, wow, this is quite a man. So he was a literary man as well. And among other things. So here is a fantastic example for us to follow, as I said, but this is top tier. Right? So now we're looking at the other levels. Do you think that you are a leader of thousands? So Bethany, thousands. Do you think you are a leader of thousands? No? Okay. Well, maybe yes. Did I hear yes? Maybe hundreds. Well, I can lead hundreds. Alright, if not 50s. If not, can I just lead tens? My Sunday school class has 10. Wow, first 10. Well, look after the 10. I mean, these are challenges that we must seriously consider. But we've got to begin somewhere. And we have to begin where it really should be. Moses, you must teach them. You must show them. So, teach them, show them. Obviously, they must also, they must become able men. Right? You must be able people. Right? Be able men first. They must show that the people, obviously, the qualities are already defined for us, what they should be. And then we look at these things here and we say, this is what we need. So these are people who fear God, a people of truth, people who wake up. Four things. We're not looking at 40 things. But in the first, these four things are not even there. But the person is a very good speaker. Notice, it doesn't say good speaker. Or the person is a very good singer. It doesn't say good singer. Quality. First, he must be able to sing. No. He must sing solo. No. Right? He must be able to be a great speaker. Wow. No. He must become a person who, a games leader. No. A tennis champion. No. None of that. See, the world looks differently today. They want to know whether you are good looking. If you're not good looking, then, sorry, you're not likely going to make it. Unfortunately. Okay? And then you must be able to speak in a certain way. Otherwise, you cannot make it. This is the world standard. When it comes to spiritual things, then we've got to go by the Lord's standards. Right? So, these are the four things that we have. Looking for able people. And, of course, we read about how Moses complied with all these things in chapter 18. And so he chose able people. Now when we chose able people, is a phrase that summarizes all the other three. Alright? No need to repeat everything. Chose able people, fear God, you know, and hating. No need to say repeat, otherwise it's very long and tedious. Able people means, you know, take the first one and all the other things are there. And this is person is able to. It must be people who fear God. So if this person is a young Christian, cannot. A person does not know the truth, not a man of truth, cannot. Not yet ready. Obviously, that's where we learn. But can I learn? One of these days, let me be. Let me become. It's very important that we understand this. I had a friend over in Perth one day. He said to me, Pastor, you never asked me to be a leader in the church. I said, yes. He says, thank you. So he said, I tell you why. Because, you see, I got lots of workers working under me. He's a CEO. He's got hundreds of workers. And this is how we do it. I fire, I hire. It doesn't work here. I know it. So, thank you. I know you understand this too. I say, yes. We're still friends. But no. Not for this. Right? So it doesn't matter where you are in life. It's who you are before God. It's the kind of person you are before God. In spiritual work. That is the criteria. Alright, questions you want to raise up? Well, I hope their heart will be challenged and be really stirred. Okay? So we go back to what we're looking at. Maybe, you know, let's not say, well, I want to be like a Moses. No, we're not going to be like a Joshua or a Caleb. Let's ask ourselves whether we have these four basic things. One, am I really able? Do I know God's word? Man of truth? Fear God? Hate covetousness? Okay, and the answer is yes, that we have moved one step further. It's not the only thing, by the way, but we made one more step further. That's great. That's a good start. Okay, I'm really looking at the overall context in years to come. When
we have a when we are going to need a new set of leaders to come up. And we're hoping that this will take place. But you've got to be there. You've got to be able to take the challenges. You've got to be able to take the strain. And all these things about the fear of leadership, it has got to be overcome. It's God who leads us. We just follow. And that is a challenge. That really, really is a great challenge. If we can do this, it will help us a great, great deal. Okay? So with due respect to your leadership, with due respect to your educational background, due respect to your intelligence, you could be Mensa with 300. You know? Wonderful creature. Yeah? But not necessarily, in spiritual work. So that is the work of the Lord that we must give proper, careful consideration. But I would really prefer that we interact a lot more rather than to hear a lot of a lecture approach. I think that would help us a great deal. Okay? No questions? Well, tomorrow we'll be bright and early here, and then we will have a full day. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we just want to thank you for what we have read in the scriptures. And we pray that the things that we've covered tonight will be things that would challenge our hearts, our minds, to look at how we can fit into your work, into your ministry, to your will, your plan. We pray that you would bless us as we take time to ponder these deep, deep truths tonight. May our hearts be challenged, be touched, to consider your work and to see the vastness of it. And to realize that we can have a little part. Help us to be humble enough to attempt a little part. We pray for your blessings. In Jesus' name.